The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Hi, I'm Tony Smith, head coach of the Warrington Wolves. This is the Rugby League World Cup final hooter on loverugbyleague.com and Radio General.
Hello there, welcome to another Rugby League World Cup final hooter. And David, it is the final hooter of the Rugby League World Cup.
It is. I'm really disappointed to hear that now. We've really enjoyed this tournament. I think it's been fantastic from start to finish. And although you can perhaps say that the final was a bit of a damp squib with Australia being totally dominant in it, then it was still a real culmination of a lot of hard work that went into it and some excellent gates, including a record attendance in a final and in a rugby league game, even at international level.
Mention a damp squid, boy. It wasn't raining in Manchester on Saturday. It was nice and sunny.
I know, I can't believe it. Every time that we've been there before, it's always chucked it down, hasn't it? So, yeah, but the rugby league sunshine was shining down on one side in particular, wasn't it? That's the green and golds of Australia. And I guess we can say congratulations to the Australians, because I'm
saying that through gritted teeth.
They've certainly shown how to defend.
Congratulations.
They've certainly shown how to defend the win this tournament, haven't they? I mean, what was it, 5 games without conceding a try? I was working out, you could actually watch 2 Lord of the Ring films in between from last time this conceded a try.
Seriously, if I was watching 2 Lord of the Rings movies back to back, I'd be asleep before the end.
To be fair, I would prefer to be watching the Australian Rugby League side, to be in all honesty. But
okay, Rugby World Cup's done and dusted. Australia are the world champions yet again for the year 2013. It'd be interesting to see what the challenge is going to be like in 2017. But bearing in mind, let's just concentrate on this year, shall we? What's coming up on this final Rugby League World Cup final hooter?
Well, we'll be hearing from Cameron Smith and Stephen Kearney about their thoughts on the tournament. We'll also be having a bit of a captain's club from the two captains of the respective finalists. We'll also go head-to-head with the coaches in Coach's Corner.
I also got the winners in closure as well, Sam Fiday and also Billy Slater. How could we forget Billy Slater being in the winners enclosure?
I don't know. How can you forget Billy Slater? He's just one of he's proved himself to be the best fullback in the world, hasn't he?
All right, before we move on with that lot, let's go to the phone line, shall we? One lady leading the truck of the Rugby League World Cup through the challenges and the journey is General Manager Sally Bolton. Now, Sally, thank you very much for joining us on the Rugby League World Cup final hooter, first of all.
Welcome.
Just want to mention, we were just on about how great the journey's been for us for over the last 6 weeks of the Rugby League World Cup, but for yourself personally, it's been a 2-year journey, hasn't it?
It has, yeah, probably a bit more than 2 years from the time we bid for the tournament and started looking at putting our plans together and just exactly what we wanted to do. It's been a very, very long journey, very long journey.
And at the end of it, was it all worth it?
Absolutely. When you spend that long planning something, you're very clear about the vision and what you want to achieve, and you work very hard towards that. And to see those plans come to fruition just as well as they did, the tournament absolutely met all our expectations and in lots of ways exceeded them. So really delighted with the way it went, and good to see all the hard work pay off.
Some great action on the field as well, wasn't that? Seemed to complement all the hard work behind the scenes.
It did, and you know, that's the bit you can't control. In reality, when the teams arrive and they run across the whitewash onto the field, you can't control that bit. And I have to say that not only were the matches spectacular, but the players that came across and played in the tournament were just a huge asset to the tournament. The way that they engaged with the communities that hosted them, the amount of hours that they put into community visits and allowed the tournament to really embrace them, but also got out there and did their bit and got in the community, was really fantastic to see. And I think they enjoyed it, and certainly the rugby league public here enjoyed it too.
Just looking at the tournament as a whole, as you are the general manager, does the fact that the tournament was so well received make your job a little bit easier?
It does make it easier. I mean, there's still quite a bit of work to do now to close the tournament down, the hard work in theory is done at this point.
It's also about a legacy, I suppose, and already there's already plans of the legacy coming out already, isn't there?
There is, yeah. So when we bid for the tournament, the RFL were very clear that the reason we were doing this was because we believed it could make a difference to the sport here in the UK. So whether that was more people playing the game, more people watching it live on TV. We really were clear that we were doing it because we felt it could make a difference. And I think we're really pleased with the way that's gone. So the media viewing figures have been fantastic. We know we've introduced lots of new people to the sport of rugby league, and because the games have been so fantastic, we're very confident those people will come back again, and that's, you know, really very important. There's now a lot of work to do to really get the return on that legacy, and I would urge every part of the game to take advantage of that.
Now, we're hearing plenty of people saying, what was the highlight of the tournament? And I'm sure you've been asked that question many times, but what has been the highlight of the tournament for you?
There were so many. I think one of my main highlights was the evening in Bristol, for lots of reasons, really. Bristol was always a bit of a risk for us. It was a new area. We were confident it would work, but until we got there that evening, just seeing the number of people we got in the stadium, but just how engaged they were, the majority of people there totally new to the sport. The game was fantastic. The teams we had playing really had engaged with the community. The Cook Islands down there had worked incredibly hard. So everything came together that evening, and there was just a real sense of satisfaction that we'd tried something and it had come off in the most part. So that was one of the high points of the tournament for me.
I got the impression, Sally, no matter what was tried for the games, it seemed to work anyway.
Yeah, in the most part they did. I mean, you know, we spent a lot of time in the very early parts of planning the tournament, going through what people assume are the kind of things that just happen. So things like seeding groups to try and avoid those blowout matches, that was such an important piece of work. And then working really hard on looking at which games would be played in what sequence and what venues they would be played at in what sequence. Again, these sort of things people assumed has happened, but there was an awful lot of thought went into that. So coming off that opening ceremony and then going to Hull KR for the front PNG game, and then going up to Halliwell Jones for that game on the Sunday evening, we knew that those two games would get us off to a really fantastic start post Cardiff. So that was the work that was done in the very beginning, and a lot of that thinking really paid off when we got to tournament time.
It did, didn't it? Because as the tournament went on, the crowds just seemed to increase by the match.
They did, and we talked lots about momentum. So in a tournament like this, there is some momentum. It's either with you or it's against you, and it's really important in that beginning period that you build positive momentum. And to a certain extent, you can plan that out, because you can look at the types of teams that will really engage people. You can look at the types of matches you've got and really start to plan that momentum. And I think lots of people would say their high point of the tournament was that game in Warrington on the Sunday night. It felt to me like that was the game that really lit the blue touch paper and brought the tournament to life, and certainly created huge momentum going into those next 2 weeks.
I suppose a fitting finale, even though we're all disappointed England weren't there on the field, but to see a full house at Old Trafford for a game not involving England, that's tremendous.
Yeah, really, you know, we're very proud of that achievement. It was one of our targets from the beginning to try and beat that world record. Weren't certain we could do it. Lots of people talked about, you know, the advantage of the home nation being in the final, but we were determined that whether England were there or not in the final, we wanted that to be a very fitting finale for the World Cup, and really, really pleased with that. As you say, the game in the end was a little bit one-sided, but, you know, for those of us that love the sport of rugby league, what a masterclass from the Australians. I mean, it was just exceptional to watch. Disappointing in the end, it was a bit one-sided, but great to watch nonetheless.
I think generally as well, Sally, that the fact that the tournament has exceeded expectations does point to a bright future for international competition, and certainly would give British Rugby League the chance of hosting future tournaments, would it? Or would it give a greater chance?
I think it would, certainly. I know talking to a lot of the International Federation delegates, they were really pleased and impressed with the way that we'd hosted the tournament and the way we'd gone about doing it and really engaged communities. You know, one of the priorities for the tournament was to make the profits to go back to the International Federation, because that's the money that gets invested in the development of the game internationally. So when you look at the success of the likes of Italy and USA in this tournament, it's really critical now that the international game invests in those kinds of areas to keep that growth going, so that come 17 and future World Cups, we've actually got more and more nations that can step up to a World Cup, provide fantastic entertainment and push the game on.
And also as well, I suppose, it's the way that some of these perhaps lesser nations in the world of rugby league have gone about their business, which has been the real highlight for me personally. I'm just wondering what your thoughts were on, you know, the likes of USA's progression and even Scotland getting through to the quarterfinals as well.
Yeah, it was, again, for me that's a high point of the tournament. Going into the tournament for a long time, 6-9 months beforehand, lots of discussions I had with people was about, well, there's only 3 teams that can win the tournament, so, you know, so it doesn't matter. And my answer to them was always, actually, it doesn't matter who wins in the end. What makes an amazing tournament are the group games and what happens in the meantime. And you tell any of those nations that any of the games that they're playing in don't really matter because it's all about who wins. You know, those fantastically close games that we had, for me, made the tournament much more so than who reached the semi-final or the final. And I think rugby league fans particularly really embraced the excitement and the colour and the passion that came with those group games, and whoever ended up in the semis was probably a bit irrelevant at that point. They just appreciated the entertainment, and you know, they brought so much to it. The likes of Italy and Scotland and those teams, they were what brought those group stages alive, really.
I think what also helped the tournament along was the masses of volunteers that were recruited. I mean, they did a tremendous job. I mean, I can only speak from a media point of view, but everyone that I spoke to, you know, there wasn't not one person who wasn't keen to help or point you in the right direction for something, and that again just kept it a real close, tight-knit affair.
It did, and they were a fantastic help. I mean, we just could not have delivered the tournament without the volunteers. I think a group of volunteers is now something you almost have to have as an international tournament. We thought long and hard about the types of roles that we wanted our volunteers to do. So we had a much smaller group, so we had sort of 800 to 1,000 volunteers, much smaller than, say, the Olympics. But we wanted to give each of them a really valuable job that meant something and really added value to the tournament. But they did a huge amount for us, and to a large extent made sure everyone was really enjoying themselves. So they provided services to the likes of journalists, but there was lots of them doing welcoming and wayfinding, so that for people who might regularly go to club games, it actually looked a bit different, and that was really important to us, to make that a kind of welcoming message very, very important. You know, World Cup is different and it's special, and we wanted to make sure that people's interaction with that from the very beginning was different.
Now, we know your thoughts have been on the international game for the last 2 years, Sally, but what club do you follow up with in the World Rugby League, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I don't really follow any club. I mean, I have, you know, my kind of history is Wigan.
Okay.
Grew up following Wigan with my dad, so that's the history. I wouldn't say I avidly follow any club, which might be a bit disappointing, sorry.
Not to worry, at least you still have a love for rugby league. That's all we want to know anyway.
Yes,
I think we'll let you off for your Wigan connection, actually, with the way this tournament's gone, I think, Sally.
Yes, thank you.
No worries, and when you do sit back in a few weeks and reflect on the tournament, will you feel, yes, that's a job well done?
Yeah, definitely. You know, as an event manager, your first thought is looking back and saying, what can you do differently and better next time? You know, that's just the nature of the job. And that is the next 3 months of our work as a team. We will go back through everything we did and analyse what worked and what didn't, and make recommendations that will go back to the International Federation to help whoever it is that organises 2017 to do an even better job. You know, that's the priority, really, to learn from this experience and to build that in 4 years' time.
Sally Bolton, General Manager of the Rugby World Cup. What a great success it's been for you, and well done, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
There you go, Sally Bolton saying it was a job well done, Dave.
Yeah, and I certainly think it was a job well done, in all honesty. I thought it was a great tournament, start to finish. As Sally mentioned, the fact that they got the grouping just right, which meant that there was a huge momentum that was actually going into the Cup. Thought that was such an important aspect, to be honest. And I think that certainly when you have everybody buying into the tournament like that, and you're seeing record crowds announced everywhere it went, it just shows how much hard work went in. And to be honest, I know that, you know, a lot of people, they don't like getting the pats on the back, do they? They just think, hey, it's my job, I've gone and done it.
Exactly.
But they deserve it, you know. And I made a point of, after the final, going to all those people that we dealt with in the media, thanking them, shaking their hands and saying, see you again next season, hopefully. And you know, I think that's what it's all about. It's all about getting involved, it's all about involving people, it's all about that inclusion. And you know, we've done a fantastic job of it. And I tell you what, rugby union's got to go a long way to beat our World Cup.
They have, haven't they? You've heard me and Dave Parkinson and Sally Bolton saying what a great tournament it's been. And Stephen Kearney and Cameron Smith say exactly the same thing as well.
Well, I reckon it's been wonderful. You know, I really do. I think it's been a real credit to the English game and the way they've organised it, and in the type of football that's been played. You know, the crowds that have turned up. You know, every game that we've had, you know, it's pretty much full. and we've been well received. Both teams, whoever we've played against, have been well received, and so I couldn't fault it, to be fair.
Been involved in two World Cups and several Four Nation tournaments, and every tournament I've been involved in has been a huge success, and there's been a lot of people turn up to the games. That's why I thanked everyone that came out to all the games throughout this World Cup. It was just so big, and I think every nation that's been involved in this World Cup have done their job to grow the game, particularly over here in the Northern Hemisphere. And I've mentioned before, we played the USA in a quarter final. That's only got to do good things for rugby league in the US. So, I think the international game's in pretty good shape. We've seen the performances from those growing nations over the past 5 weeks. They're getting better every year. So, hopefully we can continue playing these tournaments and keep growing the game around the world.
Right, there you have it, Stephen Kearney and Cameron Smith with their thoughts about how they felt the Rugby League World Cup has been in the UK. For Cameron Smith, he's going to say it's great because his team got the hands on the trophy.
Well, he is, but I mean, that's why I was more interested to hear what Stephen Kearney had to say about it, because, that's coming off the back of being beat by, 30-odd points by Australia. So, Cameron Smith, magnificent player. He's led that Australian team from start to finish. Knew they were a little bit disappointing in the first game against England, and went about putting it right, and what a way to put it right. An immense credit to everybody involved this World Cup, in my opinion, and great to hear the the professionals behind it all, the faces that we like to see and we like to hear from, actually saying the same thing and echoing our thoughts.
Without a doubt, the game done and dusted as Australia went on to defeat New Zealand, and the final overall, you said it was a bit of a damp squib, but why do we do that in rugby league? Why don't we say, even though it was a one-sided scoreline, it was a great intense game in rugby league?
I think we were looking forward to a really close encounter. I think last week I said that there wouldn't be a cigarette paper between them, and instead there was a big tobacco factory between them, I think, to be fair. But the Australians defended manfully throughout that game, and in Brett Morris they had him scoring two really exciting tries, Billy Slater grabbing two tries to just headline where he is on the world stage, which is top fullback. There's nobody that's going to move him from that position, I don't think. And Cooper Cronk as well, nice to see him getting on the scoreboard. He creates a lot of stuff but doesn't often score, but I think that was actually his 12th international try, so he's done quite well in the Australian game. And then Jonathan Thurston, exemplary kicker, ends up with the Man of the Match award, and deservedly so. He's been magnificent in this tournament.
You mentioned Brett Morris, he's brave, isn't he? Because he wasn't bothered about the advertising hoarding, trying to get on the end of those kicks downfield to touchdown. Even when he touched down his own try, he thought, I'm scoring the try, stuff the advertising.
Yeah, nearly took the advertising board out, didn't he, to be honest, and ended up in the front row of the stand. But no, that's just probably a display of the man, isn't it? They don't really think of themselves. They give such selfless acts to try and get on the end of plays. And, the build-up to that one, which saw, I think it was Jared Hayne, catch the ball and kick it in the same movement, that was worth the admission fee alone, and really, really good. And although, like you said, the New Zealanders perhaps weren't quite at the races in that game, they did contribute.
They did, didn't they? And they really did make a game of it. I thought the turning point personally in that game was at the second half start point. For me, New Zealand needed to score first in that second half, and sadly it was Australia who got the try, and unfortunately it was one try too many for New Zealand to claw back, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was 16 points to 2, I think, at half time, wasn't it? And as you mentioned, New Zealand needed that early ball and they needed to get it wide and really put pressure on the Australians, and sadly they weren't able to do that. They conceded possession. The Australians went down their left hand side, and next thing Billy Slater's breaking the hearts and going over. And then when they doubled that advantage with a second try, probably about 10 minutes later, it was game over as far as a contest was concerned. But then you saw some perhaps individual skills from the likes of Sonny Bill Williams, who was trying desperately to get his
tried too hard,
and that, sometimes it goes like that, doesn't it? Sometimes you can be the best that there is, other times it doesn't quite go for you. And unfortunately for Sonny Bill Williams, who's been magnificent in this tournament and has got the International Player of the Year, it didn't happen for him, did it? He got intercepted a couple of times and missed a couple of tackles, and unfortunately he'll be thinking about what could have been as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. I know all the talk before the game was it a revenge mission for Australia, having lost a trophy to New Zealand in 2008. Now, before the game started, there was no talk of it at all. They wouldn't have it, the Australians. They weren't even thinking about that. But after the game, Cameron Smith, he was adamant it was in his head from the kickoff.
Yeah, and he actually says that in an interview which we've got for you a little bit later on. But yeah, it's funny things, isn't it? Rugby league players, they always say something and then do something completely different, don't they? So you never really know what's going on in the minds of a rugby league player. But, you know, Cameron Smith, ultimate professional, knew what he had to say for the measure of the press and then did exactly the opposite.
Yeah, having won that game, it meant Australia got the hands on the trophy for the 10th time since the trophy's been going.
And it's a magnificent, it's a magnificent trophy as well, isn't it?
It is as well. It's just a shame the lid don't come off, though.
Does he not?
No.
Was he trying to, you know, wrestle it off?
I was. I wanted to stick a can of lager in it and have a drink out of it.
I think the Australians would have appreciated that one, to be honest.
Can of Forex. And you can get over beers as well. But no, you can't get the lid off. That's the only downside to that trophy.
See, you learn things every day when you listen to us.
Right then, after the game, I caught up with one or two players that were milling around the press areas. So let's step into the winner's enclosure, and we'll hear from Sam Fyredane. First of all, Billy Slater, who amazingly was nervous going into this game than what he has been in years.
Probably the most nervous I've been going into a game for a long time. Just the uncertainty of how it was going to hold up. But I trained, to be perfectly honest, I didn't really convince myself at training. I probably looked okay, but it didn't feel great. But I got out there, and I felt today was probably the best it's actually felt in the last fortnight. So a lot of it's got to go to our medical staff, Steve Satori, and mostly Tony Ayub, who's worked around the clock in the last fortnight to get me on the field. And I've got to thank them a lot. Probably just happy that I could get out there and do that sort of stuff again. I couldn't walk a week ago, and even a couple of days ago I was humming and ahhing whether I put my hand up to play or not. So I wasn't lying to you. I was telling the truth when I didn't know if I was playing or not. So it was probably just a bit of emotion, and to get out there and perform the way we did and be a part of the side that we have was very special to me. That's a common question, mate. It was disappointing to lose 2008. There's no question about that. But I've always, in my career, I've always looked forward. I've lost grand finals. I've lost State of Origin games. I've lost World Cup finals, so it's always disappointing to lose them, but you've just got to look forward and focus on becoming a better player, and that's what I have done. New Zealand certainly deserved to win 2008. They played great, we didn't play great, and I thought we deserved to win it today, so pretty proud to have a medal, a World Cup medal in my trophy cabinet now. But obviously it was disappointing, but it wasn't a real motivating factor for me. That was a pretty good performance. I thought, barring our first 20 minutes, opening 20 minutes in this tournament, I thought we've performed really well. And to not have any points or any tries scored against us in that period is pretty proud to be a part of. Everyone's played their role in defence, and we really focused on defence. Although we've got some great attacking players, we really focused on defence, and we knew if we could defend that try line, that'll go a long way to winning the game. It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling in the sheds there. It's always a good feeling when you come away and you achieve a goal and everyone plays well. So, it's a great feeling. Obviously, you feel for guys like Brent Tate and the guys that missed out on the game, but everyone's played their part in this World Cup, and everyone deserves to celebrate it.
First of all, Sam Fyredane, congratulations on being crowned world champion of rugby league.
Thank you very much. It's a huge honour.
Overall, great occasion for the fans and Australia as well.
Yeah, huge crowd out there tonight, today. It was very exciting, and it was very good to walk down the tunnel and hear them all roar, and to have a look around. And there was people all the way to the back seat, so it was fantastic.
First, say the plan went to plan.
Yeah, it's you know, it was a goal that we wanted to achieve, is to make the final. And I think at some stage there we kind of knew that we might be facing New Zealand. So I'm sure the coaches have been prepping for this game for the last probably 2 weeks. And, you know, everything the coach said happened on the field, and everything we really wanted to do, you know, really worked out for us today. So, very happy that the plan did go to plan.
Looking at the challenge of New Zealand, how do you feel that it was like?
It was a tough physical match. All the boys are, you know, very sore and tired. Don't let the score fool you. You know, we scored some absolutely brilliant tries. But at the end of the day, you always know when you've played New Zealand.
Sank in that you're not a world champion?
No, not yet. I have to sit down for 5 minutes and soak it all in.
Can you run us through that opening set of tackles? See if the guys basically just got in and smashed them defensively.
Yeah, it's always tough, and especially after the hucker is something that really inspires the Kiwi boys. That you know, there's so much energy behind it. There's so much of an aura behind it that, you know, it usually pumps the boys up and fires them up. So we knew that first set was either for us going to be make or break, and we just made sure that we went out there and defensively we. You know, wanted to give as much as I wanted to give, and you know, that really set the platform, that first set of six, for what we wanted to do for the rest of the game.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
This is Chris Hill. This is the Rugby League World Cup final hooter on loverugbyleague.com and Radio General.
Now, you know, I like to talk about Chris Hill doing his duty for England, and unfortunately he wasn't involved in the game at Old Trafford on Saturday, but it was good to see Jonathan Thurston was out there with a skull cap on.
Yeah, one of several skull cap players over the course of this tournament. You just can't let Chris Hill go.
Can I?
You've really got it bad with him. I don't know what it is. He's definitely your man crush.
See, I felt like going down to the tunnel at half time saying to Jonathan Thurston, listen, change your skull cap and put this one on.
Oh, you've not nicked one of his skull caps as well, have you?
I have,
borrowed one of Chris Hill's skull caps.
How did you guess? What, give it away?
Oh, goodness me.
Chris doesn't know yet. He knows now.
You know, we're going to have to call your doctor or something. It's just getting too much, this. Or maybe a psychiatrist, I don't know. Jonathan Thurston, for me, has been the man of the tournament in a lot of respects, but perhaps not totally my man of the tournament.
Without a doubt, because we're going to have our award tonight very shortly, aren't we? But speaking of Chris Hill, if you'd have bought the final programme on Saturday at Manchester, now a few people were asked, we were asked by the way, which I'm a bit miffed about.
Yeah, I don't know why.
But people were asked to give their favourite teams of the tournament, and Chris Hill was named in three of those lists, wasn't he?
Yeah, there was actually 12 journalists or media outlets which were asked to submit teams and their teams of the tournament, and Chris was named in three of them. Shall I give those who share your views on Mr. Hill?
Go on then, please.
Okay, we've got Joe Whiteley, who was one of the major contributors to the programme.
Thank you, Joe. Go on.
Okay. Gary Carter from The Sun. Mate Gary.
My mate Gary, yeah. He's got sense as well. Go on.
And Gareth Walker as well from Rugby League World.
Yeah, Gareth Walker. Obviously, then people know class when they see it.
To be fair, he would probably have been in mine as well, but that's probably because of the old league connection, I think, more than anything. Because I named Bob Bezic in my team of the tournament as well.
You got a man crush on Bob Bezic, haven't you?
Nah.
Just want him to serenade you with his guitar.
Having heard his efforts in, I think it was Dublin airport, doing Wonderwall, I think we'll get him booked. I'm going to book him for my birthday.
I think you'll find it was in Shannon Airport.
Well, wherever it was. They were coming home anyway.
It was in Ireland anyway.
It was in Ireland. They were coming home. They'd had a few beers and Bob got the guitar out and did Wonderwall. That's as much as we know.
Right, we're in the winner's enclosure before, but let's get some losers' reaction, shall we? I caught up with Kieran Foran from New Zealand.
Kieran Foran, after a tremendous tournament, sadly, you just lost out of the final hurdle.
Yeah, we certainly didn't prepare like that. We had a really good week training and prepared for this game, you know, to come in and then, you know, keep hold of that trophy. But I've got to give credit to Australia, they're just too good tonight.
What do you think the difference was between yourselves and Australia other than the fact that they won the game?
Yeah, I just think they were probably, you know, out-enthused us from the start. I think they played the ball faster and
You know, they probably won the ruck in the middle there and executed their plays better than what we did. And, you know, unfortunately, we just happened to be on the back foot there for most of the game.
Pretty close at half time, though, wasn't it? And I suppose you needed to come out and score first in the second half.
That's exactly what we spoke about at half time. The fact that we were still in the game, we just needed to make sure that Australia didn't score again. And we were first ones to score. And what happens, they come out and score in the first minute of the game. So, summed up our night. You know, we never stopped believing in ourselves. But, you know, like I said, yeah, they were just too clinical and too good tonight.
How much of a body blow was it for East Lewis, Roger Tuivasa, Shep Daly, those in that game?
Yeah, it's a massive loss. It throws everything out of whack. I mean, you know, you lose one of your wingers and you've got to put a back rower out in the centres or in the wing, and it just throws everything out of whack. So it was a huge loss, but look, we can't use that as an excuse. We were just outplayed tonight.
Obviously, you're disappointed to have lost the game tonight and your title as World Champions, but it's been a great tournament overall for New Zealand, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I mean, look, we showed great grit last weekend against a really top English side. And, you know, we never stopped believing in ourselves. We prepared to come over here and win the comp, and we did nothing but that. You know, we put in the effort each week, and we made sure that we put ourselves in the best possible position for each week.
You've enjoyed your experience over here in the UK as well?
Yeah, it's been great, mate. I loved it. You know, all the boys have enjoyed each other's company, and looking forward to getting home.
Right, tell you what, Kieran Foran there, outstanding tournament for him. But before the ball was kicked, there was no Benji Marshall named in the New Zealand lineup, so they had to come over with Kieran Foran and Sean Johnson. And there was one or two alarm bells concerning this partnership here over in Australia and in New Zealand.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think everybody was looking at the fact that there's no Benji Marshall, and he's been such an integral part of the Kiwis' makeup over the last few years. But I've got to be honest, I think those two players have worked wonders. I mean, Foran in particular, I think you'll find if you go through the World Cup stats that he's one of the most creative players that there's been in this World Cup. And, you know, in Johnson, we all know what his capabilities are. After all, he knocked England out, didn't he, with the real knockout blow, 21 seconds to go at Wembley. Not that I'm bitter at all, Sean, but, you know, you can't be doing that all through your career, mate. But overall, I think that the two of them have really grown as players during the course of this tournament, both of them in their early 20s as well. So, you know, the halfback jumpers for the New Zealand side, they look to be in safekeeping for the next few years.
I'm sure Sean Johnson's name is marked forever after that try in the semi-final against England.
It was the stuff of fairy tale, wasn't it? Or if you're English, the stuff of nightmare.
Yeah. Okay, then we've talked about the winners' enclosure, we've been in the losers' corner. Let's get in the captain's club.
You know, this is its own thing. You know, I don't want to compare this to Origin or grand finals. You know, this is something that you dream of doing as a kid, of, you know, winning a World Cup for Australia. You know, it's every time you pull on this jersey, it's a special moment in your football career. And you know, tonight just couldn't have gone any better for us. You know, we worked hard. We worked hard for the last, you know, 4 weeks in preparation for this game, and you know, it's pleasing when that final siren goes, you know, to know that all your hard work has counted for something. And I probably told a little white lie along the way where you know, this didn't mean much, you know, against what happened in 2008, but I think, yeah, you know, standing out in that field after the match, I think a little bit of that disappointment from 2008 was erased. But, you know, I can't remember the last time I played in such a complete game of football in the Australian side, and it's been that way over the last 4 weeks. You know, we've played simple footy, we've played tough football, and that's all we did today. There's probably a couple of tries that were a little bit flashy, but the reason why we got the result the way we did today was just rolling the sleeves up and playing tough and playing for each other. You know, you look at, first of all, you know, Billy's effort to get back and give himself any chance of playing was remarkable. I think he picked up the man of the match today, you know. Now, that's the first one. Jared Hayne copped a heavy knock early in the game. We thought he was gone, but he bounced back up and played really well. And then, obviously, you know, Brett Morris, when he hit that fence, you know, that he hurt his hip badly, but he just gritted his teeth and got back up, and he knew he had to play for the team, and that's all today was, is we were just playing for each other and obviously playing for our teammates that weren't there on the field with us, and obviously all of our coaches and all of our staff and everyone back home. That's all we did, was just play the best we could for each other, and we got a great result. Yeah, I think it's something to build on. You know, we're very proud of our defensive effort that we've put together since the first game, and we're pretty much challenged by Sheensy and David Ferner to improve our defence and really be the best defensive team in this tournament. And I believe we've come away with that mantle. And you know, I think it's five games now, five consecutive games that we haven't conceded a try. And when you're playing a team like New Zealand, I've heard plenty of people say that that's the best New Zealand team that they've seen ever. To come up against them when they're in very good form and not let them cross your try line, that's a great effort. And it's something that we can look back on and say, well, you know, we're very proud of that over that 5 weeks.
Yeah, they were played very well. We probably you know, went away from our strength, which is going through the middle of support. We sort of sent a lot of one-out runners, and they were slowing us down pretty good. When they had the ball, they you know, were troubling our defence, and were far too loose through the middle, and sort of burned us out for when we had got the ball back. And yeah, a few times we were playing the ball on the sideline on last tackle, trying to get a kick away, and you know, then you get a poor kick away, and it's just more pressure on us. So they definitely played a good game. You know, that first half, they really built them for the second half.
Tell you what, Simon Mallory might have been the losing captain after that World Cup final. That was him with Cameron Smith. He's actually named top tackler for the tournament, wasn't he?
Yeah, he got 162. All the tops in the tournament, Jared Hayne and Brett Morris, each with 9 tries each. Jonathan Thurston finished top goal kicker with 33. Top metre maker was Paul Gallen. I said he was a good one, didn't I? 854 metres he ran for, with Sam Burgess the nearest home nations player to that one. And interestingly enough, the most penalties conceded was a 5-way tie at the top. Sean O'Loughlin, Tarek Sims, Andrew Fifita, Stuart Littler and Frank Paul Nuasala.
No surprise he's Stuart Littler's in there, is there?
Oh, he's a decent player, though. He's a good lad, he's Stuart. It's just unfortunate that he got...
Plays dirty, yeah.
No, he just got a little bit over-enthusiastic, shall we say.
All right, yeah, good excuse. Yeah.
Anyway, that was the stats, you'll be pleased to hear.
Oh, thank gosh for that.
See, you've been dying for it just to be just that little tad all the way through the tournament, haven't you? Right, it's time for our awards now, isn't it?
Quickly, yes.
Okay, best kit of the tournament, Adrian.
For me, it's got to be Scotland, just those tartan shorts.
For me, got to be America.
That's the worst Scottish accent I've ever done, ever, by the way.
It was, yeah. That was nowhere near Sean Connery, at all. For me, it was the USA. Stars and Stripes, I do quite like that. Best atmosphere?
For me, it's got to be Halifax. The way the public just fell for Fooey.
I'm going to agree with you there. Absolutely outstanding. Packed out Halifax. Brilliant. Best media food. Now, we've been and sampled quite a few, haven't we, over the course of this tournament?
A few lasagnas, a few bowls of soup, a couple of sarnies and this, that and the other. But for me, the one that topped the tops of the media food, it's got to be that nice little carvery we had at Wembley.
So you're thinking that little bit of pork that they did. It was only 2 slices. How could you rate those 2 slices?
It was top food.
For me, it's got to be the lasagna at Old Trafford in the final.
Okay.
See, it has its perks, doesn't it, doing this job?
It does.
The best choir. We heard a lot over the course of the tournament.
We did, and I've gone for the guys and girls that were singing at Headingley.
And here's where I've got, hometown advantage, because I thought the people at Lee really did the town proud. Best try of the tournament for you?
I went for Roger Tuivasa's Sheck effort when he went the length of the field at Headingley.
So pace strength
is what it's about, yeah.
Swerve, real panaz. I've gone for Hurrell, Conrad Hurrell for Tonga. The try that he scored against the Cook Islands, again, strangely enough at Lee, but he steamrolled the opposition. He basically took possession 40 metres out. Next thing you know, he steamed through, gone through a couple of really good tacklers and defenders normally to stretch over the line. Now, your best tackle or big hit of the tournament?
Without a doubt, it's got to be Papua New Guinea fullback David Mead against New Zealand, that Henley. Not too sure who the player was for the Kiwis, but my word, Mead just stepped up out of his position, into the line, hit the player so hard, he literally ended up in the south stand.
Just one for me, and that's Conrad Hurl again. He's tackling Cameron Seraldo against the Italians, or it measured on the Richter scale. Man of the tournament?
Fooey.
Anthony Milford for me. Some
need
more.
Yeah, say no more.
Team of the tournament. I've gone for Fiji here. I think you were.
I went USA.
You were heading towards the USA, weren't you?
USA.
I mean, they shot the world. They had a song made about them, so that's a good shout. That
USA.
That is our tops.
So I suppose best national anthem has got to be Italy's.
Or ours.
Yeah, on ours as well. That's us done and dusted. Another real Rugby League World Cup final who's done and dusted. And believe it or not, David, we're only 50 odd days away from the start of the Super League season.
Bring it on. I can't wait now. I'm all ready for it.
We're going to go up with Coach's Corner. We'll see you soon.
I just think Australia's performance today was, nothing short of outstanding. I didn't think we, we just couldn't get ourselves, into the contest, and I just thought the pressure that they mounted. We're hanging on there, but some of their last tackle finishes, they came up with points, particularly in that first half. So, I thought their performance was pretty faultless, to be fair. But so they gave us a real lesson today. So it does, when you replace a winger in any contest, it's hard because you don't have a winger sitting on the bench. You got to shuffle lads around and put a makeshift centre out in the centres, and your centre goes on the wing. So straight away it throws that edge out of it. When you turn up today and the Australian side play the way they do, we had to bring our best game today, and I know we didn't do that. Australia certainly didn't allow us to play like that, and the way they played, took a lot of that out of us. As Simon said, we didn't threaten them at all, with the footy in the first half, which we needed to, and from that perspective, if we weren't going to bring our best game today against Australia, then it was always going to be tough. And that's as good as I've seen them play. I look at the side, and for me, the positive to come out of today, there was there's a lot of negative, but the positive to come out of it, we've got some pretty young kids in that side, and for them to sit there and feel the hurt and listen to the celebrations of Australia next door in the dressing room, they got to feel that and understand, next time, we find ourselves in that position, that Australia's performance is what it's going to take to lift that trophy again. So for us, that's what it's about. Again, in terms of comparison from 2008 to now, I don't think, I haven't done that all tournament, so just because of today's result, I'm not going to, make comparisons. All the tries in the first half come off the back of kicks, I think a couple of tries in the second half, were the same. So, that's a significant, part of, why we didn't win the contest, when they're kicking the footy and, they're having easy. I thought Billy's try, we just didn't read it well, the first try. Some of the other ones were maybe a little lucky, but, you earn your luck. So they're big plays. Again, with the effort from the guys over the last 6 weeks, the contribution that, all of them have made, and, the staff, it's a tough old game when you get no reward for it, but that's why we're in the business.
It was a great occasion, terrific atmosphere, fantastic to play at the Field of Dreams, or the House of Dreams, as I think they call it, and to have such a great performance from a bunch, not just the players, but everyone in the group, the players who didn't play, were disappointed, stood by us. the staff, you know, to get Billy back on deck. Lots of things, you know, go beyond the scenes. So it was a great, great team effort. On Wednesday, we tested Billy, and staff were pretty confident. They'd been running him, you know, privately up until that point. Wednesday, we decided that if Bill was going to play, he had to get bashed, and I mean bashed. We threw him in tackle suits, and just about everyone had a shot at him in one way or another through the session, including Greg Inglis, who I think secretly wanted the fullback role. But
he did throw him around a bit, didn't he?
He did throw him around a bit. But Billy came through it the next day, no swelling on the knee, and then I was pretty confident. When we went through Friday, and again, he really flew through training on Friday. I think that gave him the confidence as well, and it did me too. However, he in my career, well, my career and my medical staff's career swung on the balance today, I can tell you. But he came through really well, didn't he? And look, his performance was brilliant.
The Rugby League World Cup Final Hooter, brought to you by Radio General and loverugbyleague.com.